Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dolat Industries Limited Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call hosted by SMIFS Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Saurabh Ginodia from SMIFS Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening, everyone present on the call today. On behalf of SMIFS Limited, I welcome you all to Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call of Dolat Industries Limited. We are pleased to host the top management of the company. Today we have with us Mr. Ankit Gupta, President, Marketing, and Mr. Ajay Patodia, Chief Financial Officer of Dolat Industries Limited. We will start the call with some initial comments on results from the management, post which we will open the floor for question and answer. I will now hand over the call to the management. Over to you, Ankit.
Good evening to all the participants on behalf of Dolat Industries Limited. We are pleased to share with you that on this 50th year of Dolat Industries Limited, we have crossed an important milestone of rupees 1,356.85 crore turnover in FY 2022, thereby delivering on our promise of growth to all our shareholders and stakeholders. As a special for completion of 50 glorious and eventful year in the history of Dolat Industries Limited, we have declared a special dividend of rupees 3 for the year, subject to approval by shareholders at the AGM. We thank all our employees, suppliers, customers, management team, board of directors, our shareholders, and our entire stakeholders who have been an important part of this journey. To give you a quick brief on the year that went by, our teams have hit the ground running post the two COVID waves to recover lost ground and pace up on all the activities with respect to our sales growth from the traditional business, Project Lakshya targets, channel financing, launch of new product lines, as well as kick-starting our first CBO during the year. The Dolat brand has been gaining fast acceptance in new markets, led by our changed brand architecture under the Dolat brand, as well as our athleisure segment. We took our branding and marketing efforts a step further during the IPL 2022 by becoming the principal sponsor of the Rajasthan Royals for the current season. Associating with the young generation sports product is a part of our increasing youthfulness of the brand. With the joint venture with GOAT in PayPay, we expect to channel our sales in direct-to-consumer segment and also inorganic growth through brand acquisitions in the JV company. For FY 2022, Bigg Boss contributed 43%. Economy range of products, which we call regular, contributed 35%. Missy, 8%. Thermals, 8%. Force Next, 3%. Force Go-Wear, 1%. Socks, 1%. Champion, which is our Dolat Junior, is 1%. During the Q4, we have also launched our brazier segment in the states of Uttar Pradesh and East India, and the initial response was very positive. In order to make our Dolat women brand more powerful, we have signed Yami Gautam as our brand ambassador for womenswear. Now let me quickly update you on the qualitative aspect of our business strategy and the growth drivers and our target for FY 2025. Q4 FY 2022 saw major fluctuation in price of cotton candy, which has increased from 75,000 per candy in January to 115,000 rupees per candy in May. We are anticipating sharp volatility in yarn supplies, due to which we are stocking up on our inventory of key raw materials to be prepared for supplies with respect to upcoming summer season as well as the festive season. We have managed to reduce our working capital days from 178 days in FY21 to 154 days in FY22. This was mainly due to the reduction in debtor days from 121 days in FY21 to 99 days in FY22. Further, we have increased our distributor under Project Lakshya from 51 at the beginning of the year to 142 as of end of the year. We are aiming to bring 70% of our total distributors under Project Lakshya by FY25. Similarly, from zero, we have brought 150 of our distributors under channel financing and are targeting to bring 60 to 65% of our total distributors under channel financing by FY25. We have also increased our active retailers to 100 per distributor and are aiming to increase this to 150 to 200 by FY25, which will not only increase our reach but also the range in the market. Our integrated warehouse plan and the expansion of our spinning mill are targeted to be completed by November 22. All of these efforts are aimed to help us reach our revenue target of ₹2,000 crores by FY25. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Ajay Patodia, our CFO, to quickly brief you on the financial performance aspect.
Thank you, Ankit ji. The company has posted robust performance for the quarter four and for the financial year 2022, backed by the accelerated demand across categories. Our revenue for the quarter issued at ₹376.80 crore as against ₹310.44 crore, registering a growth of 21.38 compared to the same period last year. The growth was led by strong demand across our product portfolio and increased share of value-added products. Our EBITDA for the quarter stood at ₹59.16 crore, registering a growth of 78% as compared to ₹33.24 crore during the same period last year. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter ended, which stood at 15.70%, has seen an improvement of 500 basis as compared to same period last year. Our quarterly profit before tax, which stood at ₹50 crore, showed a strong growth of 85% as compared to ₹27 crore for quarter four financial year 2021. Profit after tax for quarter four FY financial year 2022 stand at ₹37.10 crore. We have seen an improvement of 338 basis points in our PAT margin, which stand at 9.85% as compared to 6.47% in quarter four financial year 2021. Now coming to our financial year 2022 performance, our revenue for the financial year stood at ₹1356.85 crore as compared to ₹1040.43 crore in financial year 2021, with a growth rate of 30.41%. EBITDA for the financial year 2022 stood at ₹223.23 crore as compared to ₹141.56 crore in financial year 2021, registering a growth of 58% year-on-year basis. The EBITDA margin has seen an improvement of 285 basis points, which stood at 16.45%. Versus 13.6% in financial year 2021. Profit after tax for financial year 2022 stood at ₹145.87 crore as compared to ₹87.28 crore in financial year 2021, with a growth of 67% year-on-year basis. The profit after tax margin stood at 10.75%, improvement of 236 basis points as compared to 8.39% in financial year 2021. I now open the forum for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankit Babel from Shubhkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and congrats for good performance both on top line and bottom line. Sir, a few questions. You did mention that inventory was high due to stocking up of raw material. Just wanted to understand, how is the situation currently? Has it normalized or it is still high, sir?
So, hi Ankit. The thing is that the yarn prices have been increasing every day, and there's a lot of volatility in terms of yarn supplies also in the market because of the increasing cotton prices every now and then. Because as I mentioned, like the cotton per candy, which was 75,000 in the month of January, has increased to 1,15,000. And this used to be around 44,000 in the beginning of the year, right? So this is the kind of increase which we are seeing in the market. This is the kind of uncertainty we are seeing in the market. So that's the reason why the stocking up of yarn is on a higher side. So currently our WIP stands at around 40-45% with respect to the total amount of inventory that we are holding. Nevertheless, we have reduced our overall working overall inventory days by 3 days only. It would have been more if this uncertainty or if this volatile market wouldn't be there.
Okay, so have you people taken any price hikes in the month of April and May to pass on this high raw material cost?
Yes, so from 1st April onwards, we took a price hike of around 4-4.5%, and another price hike is due by the somewhere around mid-June.
So will it be enough to take care of your margins considering the current prices of raw material?
Yeah, for now it is, but so every purchase is at a different price nowadays. So we can't really say that even after June also we'll have to take a price hike or not. But currently this is the situation that in the month of April we have to take a price hike, and again we are taking a price hike during mid-June or by the end of the month. Yeah.
So have you witnessed any impact on demand due to such steep price hikes in the month of April and May?
Currently, the demand is very sluggish in the market overall. But we are overcoming this sluggish demand. So overall, last year also, if you see, we did a volume growth of 9% in this 30% growth that we have achieved overall. In that, the volume growth has been 9%, even though there was Omicron in the fourth quarter. Overall volume did not increase much in the fourth quarter, but overall 9 months ended, what we achieved has really paid off and made us take this kind of a growth leap, basically.
Okay, and lastly, what are your targets for working capital days at the end of FY23?
So last year we promised to reduce it by 15 days. And we have reduced it by already 23 days. Another 10 to 15 days is what we are looking forward to. And let's hope that we achieve that. And it will be achieved mainly by making more and more distributors come and join the channel financing scheme. It has really helped us because we have reduced our debtor days from 120 to 99. So it's a big jump. So we are very hopeful that we'll be again able to reduce it by another, overall the working capital days will be able to reduce it by another 12 odd days, somewhere around 10 to 12, yeah.
Okay, and just sorry, one last thing, any guidance on debt at the end of this year? What are your targets? Because it has increased this year.
We do not have any long-term debt currently in our books. It's just the short-term working capital loan that we have right now. So we don't intend to take any long-term debts.
No, but even the short-term debt, do you plan to By when do you plan to become debt-free? Because that was also one of your guidances historically, that if I'm not wrong, by the end of FY23, you people were planning to become debt-free.
Actually, hi Ankit. Actually, we are planning to debt-free, but the cost of capital is very low, and we provide with around 5 to 6% interest for our working capital demand loan, and we already try to reduce our debt in short capital. So by FY25, we thought that we expect that we are debt-free company.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Congratulations on strong set of numbers. Sir, I wanted to understand the volume growth for the quarter. What would that be? And price growth, price increase?
So this quarter, there was no volume growth. I would say there was a degrowth of 1.5-2% in volume. And overall, for the financial year, we did a volume growth of 9%.
Okay. And in current scenario, as you mentioned, that the demand is muted. Can we still expect the volume growth in the coming years, and what will be the factors driving volume growth?
So this particular fiscal, what we have thought of is overall we'll be doing somewhere around 15-17% growth. That's the target we have set for ourselves, for the team, for everyone. Out of which the volume growth should not be less than like 9 or 10%.
So we'll the price growth itself will be at least 8 to 9% for sure, given that you've taken 4.5% increase in April and 4% again maybe in the month of June, and you would have also taken some price hike in December, January, which would also contribute to next year's total price price increase. So 15 to 17%, isn't it lower given that the price increase will be higher and volume growth actually will be lesser component in that 15 to 17% growth that you are targeting?
So this 15 to 17%, we have not considered the entire price hike that we'll be taking. It might be like, if the yarn market stays volatile, it can be like 15% price hike during the year as well, right? So we can't predict on that. Currently, what we think is that minimum, see, the actual growth that drives the company, that drives the growth in the long run also, which is sustainable also, is the volume growth that you get, right? And the change in the contribution by different categories of the product that you have. So for internally, like for the team, for everyone, we are driven, we really want to achieve 9 to 10% volume growth, and the value growth will be as per the price hike and the change in the category mix.
Okay. Okay. And so which brands, according to you, are you targeting for this growth? Any particular strategy on the brand level, or it will just be a geographical expansion-led growth? According to you?
So there are two factors. One is Project Lakshya, which will be contributing to it, because we'll be increasing another, we are targeted to increase another around 200 distributors into this particular project during the year. Apart from that, Force Next, we are taking 30-35% growth. Leisure segment, we are focusing on having around 30% growth. Missy, again, we are taking a 30% hike this year. So these new categories and new brands will help us achieve the target in a much faster rate.
Okay, understood. And so in your EBO strategy, how many EBOs are you planning to open this year?
During the fiscal year, so last time when we came on a call during Q4, like after opening during Q3 call, after opening our first EBO, we made a statement that by the end of March, we'll be opening 8 to 10 EBOs, which didn't happen, whatever the reason be, whether it be the third wave Omicron or we really wanted to watch how the first EBO really works out. But during this fiscal year, we are aiming to open about 25 odd EBOs. And by the end of fiscal year 25, we'll be targeting to open around 120-125 EBOs.
And 20 EBOs in this financial year?
25.
By 25, okay. Okay, okay.
No, no, 25 EBOs in this particular fiscal.
Yeah, and 120 by FY25.
Right.
Okay, okay, understood. Sir, in your inventory number that you have mentioned in the balance sheet, how much of that inventory would cover for our total sales? So basically, I would like to understand how much is your raw material cover for how many months at this point in time?
Prerna. Out of total inventory, around 40% is our raw material and 60% is the finished goods. And the 40% of the raw material is around for 55 days.
55 days. Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll come back on the question queue again. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Sir, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. You mentioned about 1.5% to 2% volume degrowth in Q4. So considering that the realization growth has been quite healthy at about 23%, so just wanted to check what is the mix between price hikes that we have taken and what is the contribution of revenue mix improvement in this?
Basically, Devansh, around 21% value growth is mainly due to a price hike.
Yeah, it should be 23%, right? Because 2% is volume decline.
Yeah.
And what are the drivers for this? So it's entirely price hike or there has been some mix improvement as well?
There is some mix improvement, but more related to this price hike only. Mix is from at least a segment we get the more contribution. Their EBITDA margin is more, their revenue is more.
Sure. And this 21% or 23% price hikes in Q4, can we sort of divide it by about 5% in each of the four quarters prior to Q4?
We can say that last price hike we take in the month of December last week, around 5%.
Okay.
And
okay.
Before that, around 15% price hike taken between April to October.
Okay. And the other thing I wanted to understand, the other expenses have gone down significantly versus last year. So what was the reason for that?
Basically, due to pandemic in the quarter one, our total advertisement cost is around 5 to 6% only. Last year, it is around 80 crores. And current year, it is in absolute term, it is around 63 crores.
No, so I wanted to understand the decline in other expenses for Q4 versus Q4 last year.
Mainly in the last year, we reconstructed our dollar brand. Therefore, in last year, quarter four, around 26 crore in that quarter, but in current quarter, quarter four of FY22, it is around 13 crore only.
Sure, got it. And what were the reasons for gross margin decline? Is it largely attributable to the raw material inflation that we are seeing?
So basically, Devanshu, what happened was the cotton and the yarn prices continuously were increasing, Due to the third wave in the month of January, so 1.5 months of the quarter was very much disturbed because of all the rising cases in our country, right? At that time also in the month of February during our call, we informed that the sales were really muted and it's not happening at that pace what we thought of. So keeping that in mind, we were supposed to take a, like all the players were supposed to take a price hike in the month of Feb end or March starting, which we couldn't do because everyone wanted to like complete the targets also, and the market was not willing to take that because of the muted demand in the fourth quarter. So that's why we took the price hike, we postponed the price hike to 1st April. And this is the only reason why if you see quarter on quarter, there's a slippage of some EBITDA margin. But if you see year on year, like quarter four by quarter four, there has been a change of around like from 10.71% to 15.71%. Yeah, 5% change.
So that's helpful. I have one more question. So, sir, over the last 18 months, if I remember correctly, our price hikes have been to the tune of about 25 to 30% versus the leader in the premium space. Their price hikes have been relatively lower. Do you believe that this incremental difference of about 15 to 20% would have sort of reduce the gap between the offering of premium player and our offering?
Sorry, we didn't get your question. Didn't really understand what did you.
So I'm trying to ask, we have over the last 18 months taken about 25 to 30% price hike, and while the premium player, who is the leader, has taken only about 10 to 12% price hike. Has this sort of reduced the difference between the price offering between you and the premium player?
So by premium player, you mean Page Industries, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So the number of price hikes that we have taken, the number of times that we have taken or our industry has taken, is very continuous in nature. Like every 2 months, 3 months time, we are changing our prices. But when you go to a premium segment where your more most of the sales comes from modern trade or EBOs, it's not really possible to change the prices every quarter, right? So maybe the number of times they have increased their prices is lower than us. Like if we have increased it 5 times, they must have increased it twice. But overall, they also have taken a jump of good 18-20%. It's not 12-13%.
Sure, got it. That's helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Bagadia from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
So if you could share our average realization for the year.
So average realization for the year for at the company level, 12 month figure is around 65 rupees.
And for the quarter, okay?
For the quarter was 67.
67, not much of a difference. And so my other question is on the ad side, what are we expecting in this year? How much of a top line can we spend on ads?
So this year we spent around 63-64 crores because the first quarter was again under pandemic and everything, and it is the first quarter when we mostly advertise our products because it's the main season. The summer season is very important for us. So this year what we are contemplating is somewhere around 90-100 crores. That's what we are targeting to advertise.
90-100 crores. Oh, that would be great, sir. And sir, how are we on the capacity utilization? If you could quantify that.
As in, most of our production takes place through job work. So,
okay.
There's no question about capacity utilization. Apart from the integrated, backward integrated, the factories that we have, they're fully utilized. So.
Okay. And sir, one last question I had, since our capex of warehouse and spending is coming in this fiscal, so what kind of capex can we guide for the year?
In totality, for 2 years, what we have been saying is around 120 crores. Taking spinning mill increase expansion of the spinning mill capacity plus the integrated warehouse that we have. So out of which last year we have already spent around 60 odd crores. Sorry, 40 odd crores, and the rest will be spent this particular fiscal year.
So we can say about 75-80 crores would be spent in this year.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. That would be great and all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dheeral from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Ad spend in FY23, so I believe this would be, you know, almost 100 bips higher than FY22. So will this weigh on our margins, EBITDA margins?
Pardon, can you repeat your question, sir?
So for FY23, as we are guiding 100 crore kind of a spend on the advertisement side, so I believe this will be almost maybe 80 to 100 bips higher than what we spend in FY22.
Mm-hmm.
So will this weigh on our EBITDA margins for
FY23? Our EBITDA margin target for the 23 is around 17%, 17 and 17.5%.
Okay, so despite of rising, you believe we will see improvement in margins?
Yeah.
Okay, and so for our... For our past, you know, growing categories like athleisure, thermal wear, as well as women's wear, how was the performance in FY22? And if you can share the volume and the value growth and the overall contribution to the revenue?
During FY22, our contribution from the athleisure segment is around 12%, and thermal segment is around 8%. The trunk segment is 32%, brief is 4%. Rest is 27%, and women's innerwear is around 12%, women's legwear is around 4%, and the socks is around 1%, and the total volume growth is total growth is around 30%. Out of 30%, value growth is 21% and volume growth is 9%.
So this athleisure, thermal as well as women's wear, how much they have grown on a YY basis?
Year-on-year basis, if we talk about women's wear, it has grown by 30%, and XT has grown by 37%. Athleisure again has taken a growth of around 28-29%. So we really saw a good growth in all the growth driver segments that we have been talking about, and
So how much thermal have grown? Thermal?
Thermal, if you see volume-wise, it was very flattish because of bad winters that we had this year. And as we talked after the third quarter results also, the thermal sales were not that great as compared to what we all thought it would be.
Okay, and sir, whatever sharp improvement we have seen in our receivables, so how much is due to the project Lakshya and how much is this due to the channel financing?
So in channel financing, what's happening is we have already onboarded around 150 distributors, half of which is already in project Lakshya, half of the distributors. So the major contribution is due to channel financing and some amount of project Lakshya distributors, because if you see, the company has around 1100 distributors, out of which 140 distributors are already enrolled into project Lakshya. So you can, so we can do the math.
Okay. And so lastly, on the JV side, what was the top line growth that we have seen in FY22? And now with the new JV partner, that is GOAT, what kind of growth acceleration we can see in coming few years?
So for Pepe, after GOAT has joined in the month of October or November.
Pepe, with joint venture with Pepe is in the month of December. After December, in last quarter, we already achieved the revenue of around 5.20 crores, and out of total revenue of 14 crores, and we expect this year a growth of around 50%. We have the target for this year planning of around 20 to 25 crores for this year, and other than this, we have also get the guidance from the Mr. Rishi Vasudev on B2C consumer, direct to consumer, and in this e-commerce side also.
And so lastly, how much growth we have seen in the online segment for the full year?
Last year it is total contribution of the sales is around in modern trade is around 4%. Growth is around 63% from the last financial year. And total contribution in the sales is around 4.33%.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes. Congratulations for a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, just most of my questions are answered, but if you could strategically, you know, just guide us in the sense that, you know, we are already seeing there is a decent amount of export opportunities which are, you know, emerging in from an India perspective because of China plus one, and, you know, most of the other countries are also struggling, especially for the cotton side, be it Bangladesh or Vietnam. So are we seeing, you know, some sort of inquiry? Is you know, on these products also from the brands, you know, either in US or in Europe or other developed world, and any strategy on that parlance, you know, be it through yourself or through JV. So if you could guide us on that side, will be really helpful.
Hi, Bajanji. The thing is that we took a growth of around 112% this particular fiscal when it comes to exports. We have, our exports were really good. And when we talk about Bangladesh or Vietnam emerging as a another manufacturing hubs. So the another opportunity that we are seeing which is coming up is the export of fabrics as well. But we are mainly focusing on the African market currently, and we aim to open another 10 to 12 countries in West Africa and South Africa in a couple of years. So we'll be increasing our exports, and more focus has been placed on export market as well.
Okay. Any new anything that has been planned through JP side also? Because you know this Rishi has got good capability on and connectivity on the export side. So when you talk about 20-25 crore kind of revenue, you know, those are very small numbers, you know, to think of from you know, the capability perspective of the JP partner. So you know, any broad thought process or any plans that you have drawn up in terms of hiring the workforce or to get connectivity of the distributors in those markets? So what, if you could just slightly talk more about the strategy part will be helpful rather than, you know, the specific numbers, that how we are going to grow on the export market, what sort of workforce or the connectivity that we'll establish over next 2-3 years.
So the thing is, currently we do not have any plans to have a JV or anything, but in future, yes, we are open to the idea. Secondly, we already have a set of people who are settled in UAE, which is basically Dubai, I would say, who have like who have shifted from India with their family to Dubai, who are handling our complete export market, whether it be the Africans, because UAE acts like Middle East acts as a gateway for the African market as well. So the whole of Middle East plus the African market has been handled by him itself, and they are doing a pretty good job. And this year, the kind of increase that we saw, like from from 62 crores to 130 crores, this has been the jump that we saw in our exports. So that's why before this financial year, like before FY21 also, our export sales were very muted, very flattish. But now the focus has been placed on that. Two of the people have already shifted to Dubai to increase our export revenues. Plus, our focus towards the African market, because the consumption in African market is really very, very high. So we are putting our focus on that so that we increase our base over there as well. And in coming years, in a couple of years, we'll see our export market to flourish more.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ankit ji.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Abhijit from PI Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Abhijit, please go ahead with the question. Your line is unmuted.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, audible.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have one question. How do you see raw material price shaping up ahead, and do you pass on the benefit to the customers when raw material price goes down?
Yeah, so again, the future, we really can't predict with the kind of volatile the market has become. We really can't predict what's going to happen with the raw material prices. Currently, it's on an increasing trend. When it decreases, generally it really takes time to decrease the prices also in the market. So it's a very strategic step, because generally you have raw materials and WIPs, and if you see our total inventory days throughout the industry also, it ranges from 95 days to 105 days. So if you reduce the price immediately, you'll be really selling the high cost materials at a low prices. So we really don't want to take that kind of a hit on our margins as well.
Understood. And what kind of response you are getting in the recently opened EBO?
So the EBO was opened in the month of October, mid-October, somewhere towards the end. But after that, the EBO has been working well. We are seeing a good traction in the athleisure segment. In athleisure segment also, it's the t-shirts, the track pants, they're selling really well in over there. And in women's wear also, we are seeing a good traction when we talk about panties and camisoles, the intimate wear. And the bottom wear also. So we are seeing the trend changing from more towards the bottom wear, I would say. So in women's wear, there's a lot of different kinds of bottom wear which have come in. So now what we are having is we are having a direct consumer feedback about our products and what kind of a product do they want. So all this kind of insight that we are getting, that's why we are getting motivated to open more and more stores now. And that's why we have taken around 25 to 30 EBOs target this year and 125 by the end of FY25.
Understood. And that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arushi Lunia from HEM Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just have one question. Are you looking to venture out to new locations for Project Lakshya?
execution in terms of projects?
So in Project Lakshya, what we are doing is we have started Odisha, we have started the entire Northeast as well. And apart from that, we have started mapping the area of Haryana, Bihar. So all these new states have already been incorporated into Project Lakshya. And by the end of this fiscal, we'll cover most of the areas in this particular state as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Gyani from Money Control Pro. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So most of my questions have been answered. Only one query. So basically, the kind of raw material prices that we have seen. So as you were earlier alluding that the price has kind of a cotton candy has gone up from 40,000 to almost it's about 3x if I see from the current from the levels which used to be like 15-20 months ago. So sir, hypothetically, if I mean, I don't know, it's very difficult as you said to kind of predict the raw material price, but if it were to, you know, kind of settle at let's say like 75 to 80 thousand, which was there like the level 6 to 7 months ago, So that would itself mean like, 30-35% kind of a reduction. So hypothetically, if price were to reduce to that level, so which means that will the industry not immediately, but after, 1 year or so, we'll probably see the realization going to that level? Is that how the industry functions? So just wanted to understand.
So, as I told you, like, we take our price hike also gradually, step by step, and that's how we'll be taking the, we'll not reduce the price per se, but we'll give them extra discounts and all in the market, so as to increase the consumers or the retailers' interest towards our product. And the lowering of price will happen really very in a, will happen in a very slow and staggered manner. It won't happen overnight, right? So, but what we are seeing is in the market that it's the prices is not going to dip in near future. It's not gonna dip.
Okay, I understand. I mean, because the industry has never seen such a sharp increase, so possibly the way industry will function, after a reduction is also very difficult to say. I can understand that. But yeah, thanks for the insight. Thanks and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatinder Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. So I have just one question. This is related to the woman bra segment. There is a slide, I think number 30 on your listing. Can you share some thoughts in terms of one, how big is that market that you are looking to target? What is the average realization that you are looking to play in terms of the segmentation? And how should we as outsiders look at this business over a 3-year period? Thank you.
This brazier segment is really huge and it's growing at a faster rate as well. Around I read in a particular published report that it's the women's wear is increasing at a CAGR growth rate of 14%. So the market is ever increasing. The literacy rate towards brazier segment is also increasing because even today, brazier is kind of a taboo when you go to tier 3, tier 4 or a rural city or a village, right? And most of the ladies don't even wear that in villages in a rural India. So the literacy rate about the benefits is growing day by day and we are seeing a very positive response. So in the month of March, we launched this in the states of Uttar Pradesh and East India, like Bihar, Jharkhand, Odisha, West Bengal. And the kind of response we have gotten from our retailers directly is very positive. they really like the product. So we have initially we have launched with 9 different products, and gradually by the end of this fiscal, we are planning to be available at pan India level. Plus, we'll be launching another 4 to 5 new products in this particular segment. The average realization in brazier segment is somewhere around 125-130 rupees, because there's a mix of both beginner's bra to the padded bras, and the proportion of beginner's bra and the sports bra would be higher when we talk about their sales. In 3 years horizon, what we are thinking is, what we have internally planned, this particular segment can be huge, like from 0 to 25 or 30 crores.
That is useful. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining this call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For further information or any kind of a confusion or any kind of questions which remained unanswered, kindly get in touch with us. Thank you once again for joining in.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Smith Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.